So I'm here with Aleksander Poniewierski from Poland. Good evening, Aleksander. You wrote Speed, No Limits in the Digital Era. It's actually a fascinating book. And my proposal is that we spend 15 minutes of our time here describing some of the areas of your book. And I've got some questions for you. And maybe first and foremost, can you introduce yourself and tell us about, where you're working and what you're doing on a daily basis?
Sure. First of all, thank you for having me on your blog and your podcast. So my name is Aleksander Poniewierski. As you mentioned, I'm global head of Internet of Things, working for Ernst & Young. As well, I am responsible for all emerging technologies in a very, very, very big area called EMEA, means stands for Europe, mm-hmm. Middle East, Africa, and India. I'm economist and I am a technocrat. And this book is let me say, the output of my thoughts for many, many years.
Okay, fantastic. My first question is actually a funny one. I read in your book that you wrote your first computer virus at the age of 21. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, I mean, as you remember in the 90s, we had internet at the zero level. Zero level means that we had a couple of terminals on our universities connected to the internet, and when you had a modem at your home and dial in a connection line, you dial in into the BBS system, and then using the BBS system, you had the word on the table. Means that you need to play a different games. And one of my first, let me say, computer virus, I mean, today you can call it rather as a bot, was the kind of software which gave me a first pole position when I call university. And all the time when I initiate a callback, the university called me and I had a free internet and the internet just for me. So it was very super cool.
So you're a man of your trade and you know what you're talking about. And precisely what we're going to see here is this book, Speed, this book of yours, which you've just released. And in this book, you contend that we are living in the fourth revolution, the fourth industrial revolution, I should say. Not everybody agrees on this, though. What is your point and why are we witnessing this fourth industrial revolution?
It's very interesting because some group of scientists or some group of business people are thinking that we are still in the third industrial revolution, the revolution which is able to process data, which is able to optimize the processes, and which is able to build an interconnection in between things, in between different source of energy, different source of information, different source of things. And Mr. Rifkin is saying that we live in the third industrial revolution, the industrial revolution which based on the interconnection for energy exchange, for example, right? But mm-hmm. when you follow the Klaus Schwab concept, which is much more closer to my understanding, he's putting a couple of distinguishes in between, let me say, the industrial revolution, which we can call third, and the fourth. And the third mm-hmm. industrial revolution was about ERP system, was about computers, was about the PLCs kind of things for industrial part. The fourth industrial revolution is everything related to online data exchange. Exchange, the mm-hmm. exchange of the information, exchange of the knowledge in between people and the things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we are definitely in the fourth revolution, according to Mr. Schwab. What distinguishes the fourth industrial revolution from the previous three?
It is a very, very big difference because you can see a difference from two different perspectives. The perspective number one is related to technology. You can say that the fourth industrial revolution is when we can manage systems in real time. When we can generate data in real time, when we can store data in real time and process data in real time. From the economic perspective, the fourth industrial revolution means that we can leverage this data, exactly saying information, and we can make business based on the facts, non on the managing risks or intuition. So the difference in between third and fourth industrial revolution sits in exactly this connections. So in the previous industrial revolutions, we guess. Now we can manage because we know. We know what is the state of things. We know what is the value of the system. What is the accurate value of the information? What is the accurate value of sources, different kind of sources, resources, for example, and it is the huge difference, right? And why it is important? Because we have technology which is giving us this opportunity, right? And why I call this book speed? Because today in the fourth industrial revolution, everything is fast. So you can have this information, you can have this ability to process data and also predict facts, and at the end, you know, not guessing but knowing your business because of the speed of technology, and it is why I call this book "Speed: No Limits in Digital Era," because today we have no limits. To be honest, every day you can hear that something is breaking those limits, right?
Actually, going back to this SPEED acronym of yours is just a little bit more than just moving fast. It also means something, doesn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. I mean, the base, the concept that everything is changing so fast is just the paradigm, right? So we can we can really believe or we can observe that everything is changing very fast. But observing the world around us, I decide to describe or use this acronym to describe a word in the five different pillars. So the S in the SPEED stands for security, privacy, and trust. And I believe that security in the fourth industrial revolution is the basic things, is the baseline, is the most important element on which we can build a business, on which we can build a partnership, and so on. The P, the second letter in the acronym, stands for partnership. Because in the fourth industrial revolution, you are unable to exist without partners. And I'm talking here about the external partners to our companies, but also internal partners. So the partnership is the ability to create a new kind of physical or virtual companies, or to create a virtual or physical products coming from those partnerships. The first E stands for emerging technologies, the new technologies, the technologies we are observing and the technologies which are changing our way of doing business. The second E stands for economy, because in the fourth industrial revolution, Everything is about the new business models. It's about very fast changing the profits coming from data, the profits coming from a different kind of not existing before data marts or market marketplaces and so on. So the economy in the fourth industrial revolution, in my opinion, is very, very important. And the last D it stands for digital transformation. I call as an internal value, as a change management process for internal company, but also as a core of the transformation. And here I also put an attention on something very interesting and very, very important, that our internal staff and our customers are younger and younger generation. We can call this generation as Generation Z or Millennials, but because of the speed, because of technology, they behave differently, they think differently, and they buy and they invest differently. So it is why the digital transformation is not only about the changing a structure of the company, but changing the people working in the company and our clients in the future.
If we focus on chapter 4, emerging technologies, why must we look at emerging technologies not just in isolation, but as a combination of two or more of each individual innovations?
I did a couple of studies and researches, and I spent quite a long time on that. What I did, I collect 10 years of different researches, different analyses made by Gartner, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and World Economic Forum. I collected all description of the emerging technologies they observe through last 10 years. And based on that, I observed one very interesting thing. Instead of others, of course, showing what kind of technologies exist and so on. But one thing which is very, very interesting, that in previous industrial revolutions, we had one single technology which changed the way of companies' behavior. For example, the combustion engine or the power generator, right? So one technology, and based on this technology, we build new businesses, we build new processes, or we build a new education system, and of course, a business model. In the fourth industrial revolution, there is no one single technology which is changing today's business. So I observe that at least we need to have a synergy of two, synergy of three, or synergy of four different emerging technologies. For example, when we talk about, let's say, cloud without AI doesn't make sense. Because only when you have a very fast ability to process data in the cloud, then you can predict the future. For example, cloud and the IoT is giving you ability to synchronize data in real time in between different resources, or between different assets, sensors, thousands of them or millions of them, right? But the real power you have when you put IoT, cloud, and AI together, because you have something like a census, then you have the body which is able to transport those senses, and then you have a brain which is able to process that, right? And of course, you can say that it is nothing new, because in the third industrial revolution, when we had machines, it was like, it was the same concept, right? That you had the microprocessor, you had the memory, and you had different kinds of buses, right? Or input-output elements. But today we are talking about scale, and we are talking about the fast processing. So something which what you can imagine exists today because of the synergy of technology was unable to even imagine five years ago. Right. So today you can connect millions of different sensors. You can process the information and you can give access or deny access in the real time. And also you can, for example, add something like robotic process automation as a virtual hands executing the output coming from the brain means AI. So the synergy of technologies, especially synergy of big five, big four or big three, is making a huge difference. And in the chapter number four, you can find a lot of answers for that.
Okay, which just leads me to my last and final question. What is truly innovation, and how can you distinguish between innovation and fad?
Yes, it is $1 million question. I will give you my understanding of innovation, and for me, innovation is the ability of adaptation, of adoption, the way of doing things, or the models you can find in the one industry, and after adaptation process to another industry, you have the same results or very similar results. So for me, innovation is not R&D. For me, innovation is not the science. For me, innovation is not the completely new, let me say, technology. For me, innovation is the ability to adopt the best coming from the one industry, adopt in the different industry, and be able to benefit from this adoption in the much better way than in the first industry you source your idea. So the best innovation concept you can imagine when you, for example, took things coming from the telecom industry and you adopt into the energy industry, right? The ideas you adopt from the financial market into the commercial life science market. The technology coming, the innovation comes from the telecommunication and the adoption in manufacturing or the agriculture. For me, it is the pure understanding of innovation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So you're right. It's a $1 million question. It's a very
It is. Definitely it is, because you know, the innovation sometimes is the answer for the question for the industry, right? For example, how to better manage a customer, right? If you really can find the answer how different industry manage the expectation of or the customer, and what was the honeypot, the source of a solution, and if you can adopt in your industry the same thinking, maybe you can find the answer. So I think it is, of course, as you know, and as we discuss, there is no one good question and one good answer for that. But probably in my book you will find the answer coming from this perspective.